Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 3 months into my first call as an associate pastor in Grand Junction, Colorado, on the evening after my first baptism, an arsonist entered our sanctuary and burned down the entire building. The damage that next morning was extensive. The fire may not have destroyed everything, but the water had gone everywhere when they put out the fire, and smoke damage was everywhere. It filled everything, from the drywall in the buildings and the offices to books, and yes, even vestments. It was a filthy mess to sort through all of those things, and much had to be replaced through insurance. Later, however, about 3 months or so, one of the churches in our circuit provided me and the other pastor new vestments. And what a wonderful gift they were. The imagery of terrible, dirty, smoky clothes being replaced by fresh, bright, new garments, as outlined in Zechariah's vision, is not an uncommon theme throughout the scriptures. Early in Genesis, after the fall, the first thing Adam and Eve did was they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves from their sin and shame. Soon, however, we note that God actually replaced those garments and covered them with garments of skin. When Moses set apart Aaron and his sons for priestly ministry, they removed their old clothes and they were given new priestly garments anointed and sprinkled with blood for holy service. Later in the Gospels, we hear Jesus talk parabolically. And in the parables, he talks about how wrong clothing may keep one out of a wedding hall or banquet. In Colossians, St. Paul baptismally illustrates that the old man, the old sinful flesh, should be put off like an old garment, and that a new garment should be put on, when he encourages them with these words, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And finally, all of us recall the vision of Revelation, in which St. John makes numerous references to the saints who are robed, clothed, and covered with white robes, which have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now back to this vision of Zechariah. Around the time when the exiles were returning from Jerusalem, from Babylon, the high priest at that time was Joshua. And in this vision, he is standing before the angel of the Lord in old, filthy, we might even say smoky, priestly garments. And beside him is Satan, the accuser, wishing to deride Joshua of his unworthiness and mock him for his sin. Yet even before Satan says a word, the angel of the Lord rebukes Satan, stating two important things. Number one, that the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. And second, that Joshua, in spite of facing all the fiery trials of Babylonian exile and captivity, has in repentance turned and will carry out the purpose which God originally intended. A branch would come. A seed would come forth. Each day, you and I face a similar fate to Joshua. There is no way you and I can dodge our filthiness and sin. Since we were born with original sin, it still clings to us each and every day. And at the end of the day, what greets us? Our guilt, our shame, our failures. And there's someone else there, an accuser, the devil, who loves to harass. In fact, the conscience, your conscience, can be a very good tool of the devil, used to attack you. He reminds you and me what wretched sinners we are, and how in no way do we deserve God's goodness, forgiveness, and love. That's what the devil does. He desires to strip joy and hope from you, holding up your own righteousness, which Isaiah says is like filthy rags. Each and every new day, however, just as this vision explains, like Joshua, we are given a new wardrobe in exchange for the old. And this is great news. Because even though you and I carry around a sinful flesh with us each and every day, Luther called it an old maggot sack, God has his claim on you. He has chosen you, making you his own dear child, setting you apart through the waters of holy baptism, through water and the word. And in that washing, the old is stripped off. It's buried in order that the new clothing of Christ's righteousness and holiness and purity is placed on us. In him, you are clean, spotless, without stain or wrinkle. Not because of what you have done, but because of what the angel of the Lord, Christ Jesus, did for you. The same one who entered our skin, becoming human in every way, went the way of the cross. Only not with clothing, but naked, in order to shed his blood for you. So clothed now in Christ, you are forensically justified. Now, like a defense lawyer in the courtroom of eternal justice, Jesus still intercedes on your behalf, defending you from the devil and also defending you from your own conscience. And he says, "You are mine." Even though now you must experience the fiery trials of this life, which includes facing sin and temptation, I have chosen you, I have clothed you, and I have great purposes for you as well. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.